إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our final hadith from this section of Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat, hastening towards good deeds. Wal-Huthu ala wa-Huthu man tawajjaha li-Khayrin ala al-Iqbal alayhi bil-Jid min ghayri taraddud. And he urging one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. And the explanation that we are reading from is by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. And this chapter is taken from Riyadh al-Salihin by Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya. And in this final hadith, hadith number 94, it is the eighth hadith from this chapter, and it is a hadith that generally encourages one to hasten, to hurry, to rush to the fulfillment of what one has been commanded to do. Any hastening to fulfill that which has become obligatory upon us. Before we look at the hadith for tonight, we want to quickly review. We're going to need like help, mashallah. We're going to need some help. We quickly review some of the issues that we dealt with in the last session from questionnaire study guide number 11. And the first question being, in light of the fact that everyone must die, what type of maut or death are we being warned against in this hadith? Now, Mustafa. Sudden death. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us of the reality that a person might not be given warning, might not be given notification, but rather death may come suddenly, where a person doesn't have a chance, yani, to fix things, to make up, to repent, to write a will, or any of those things. So therefore, we should hasten in doing good deeds, yani, while we're able to, so that, and hopefully we will not be caught in that position of a person who death comes to them suddenly and they wish that they had another chance. The second question, memorize the hadith, yani, which begins when a person dies, his deeds are cut off. Yani, what is the rest of this hadith? It should be memorized. Inshallah, has anybody memorized it? Now, Musa.
إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاثة إلا من صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له.
يدعو الله. Now this hadith reported by Imam Muslim, very important hadith. Somebody help us with the meaning of it, the translation of it. يعني if a human being dies, نعم Walid.
صدقة جارية, recurrent charity.
يعني if a human being dies, what? In qata amaluhu, all of his deeds will be cut off except from three. First one,
recurring charity,
sadaqa jariya, your recurring charity, yani a charity that's ongoing. Now, and a second, now Mustafa,
a child who prayed for him.
Okay, that's the third one.
Knowledge, yeah.
Okay, knowledge that is benefited from, that people continue to benefit from it. And the third one is what?
A righteous child
that praise for the parents. A righteous child that will pray for one's parents. Now, and this also is a reminder to us, yani, of the fact that yani, death ends the affair. Yani, a person, while they're alive, they have a chance to do something, but at the point of death, it's cut off, except from that which has become known to us yani, through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 3, how long will the fitna of Ad-Dajjal last? And explain. Yani, how long will it last? And explain the answer. Naam, Walid.
40 days, and 40 days.
The fitna of Dajjal, yani Dajjal will appear on the scene, and his fitna will last for 40 days. Naam. And what do you say?
And the explanation is
for 40
days, that the first day will be like that of a year.
The first day will be like that of a year, the year that we're experiencing now. Now, the first day will last that long as the year lasts now. Now,
the second day would be that of a month.
The second day like a month,
The third day, that of a week.
The third day, that of a week.
The remaining 37 days will be like the normal days.
And the remaining 37 days will be like normal days that we are used to now. Question number 4, what is it about Ad-Dajjal that will be recognized by the believer, but not by the disbeliever or a hypocrite? Talib. Naam, he will have written on his forehead the letters Kaf, Fa, Ra in Arabic. Naam. And what do we want to say about it further? Naam.
Only the believers could read it, whether they're literate or illiterate.
Now, only the believer will be able to read it, even if they were literate or illiterate. Even if they couldn't read, at that time they will be able to read that. And as far as the hypocrites and the disbelievers, they will not be able to read it. Even if they before were literate, even if they were able to read and write, they wouldn't be able to read this. And they wouldn't be able to read this and thereby recognize what they are dealing with. But the believer would have a chance to escape from this fitna by knowing that this is Ad-Dajjal. The 5th question lists 3 other points mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah concerning Ad-Dajjal. 3 other points. Now, 1, Mustafa.
He will claim lordship.
He will claim lordship. Yani he will claim to be yani a Rabb. And he will, as a result of that, okay, he will be given powers that no one else had been given. Yani, like being able to command the rain, the sky to rain, or the earth to bring forth vegetation, or the opposite of that. And as a result of those powers and his claim to lordship, he will call people to worship him. He will call people to worship him. Now, what else? Anything else that we can remember about Ad-Dajjal? And there are a lot of things. The Shaykh mentioned yani, several things, and there are many, many, many more that we could think about. Now, Walid. He's khabith and kadhab, naam, and what?
A liar,
naam.
Deceiver.
And a deceiver, naam.
He will kill by Isa.
Naam, that Allah will send down Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, yani to kill him, naam. And also, Talib?
He will appear in a place called Lud.
Okay, that's where Isa will kill him, in a place called Lud, naam. In Palestine, naam. Or in Syria, in that area, yani Sham, naam.
He's from the sons of Adam.
Yeah, he's a human being. Basharun. He's not something. Yeah, he's some strange creature. He's a human being. Naam.
One eyed and the other eye like a swollen grape.
Naam, one eyed. Yeah, he will be blind in one eye. One of his eyes will be like swollen like a grape. And there are other things, yani, that the Shaykh mentioned that we could have read in the books, yani, dealing with this particular matter. Tayyib, and this is an important subject. And it's so important that all of the prophets warned their people. Every prophet who came warned their people against Dajjal. It's just that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us more details about it. And he's the final prophet, and the Dajjal will come, yani, to his ummah, yani, to the people that have accepted his call and the people who haven't accepted it, but he has called them. Now, question number 6. Memorize the ayah mentioned by the Shaykh from Surah Al-Qamar, 54th Surah, 46th ayah concerning the appointed hour of judgment. Concerning the appointed hour of judgment. Now, Musa. Naam. What is the meaning?
No, the hour is
Is their appointed time. Uh-huh.
And the hour is more grievous.
And the hour is more grievous.
And more bitter.
And more bitter. Yani more grievous in that its calamity will be the greatest calamity that human beings will experience in this world. And it is more bitter, yani it will be distasteful because of the harshness of it and the hardship of it. And yani the people will not experience yani anything like the hour of judgment. Yani when people are resurrected for the hour of judgment, it will be the most yani severe thing that they have experienced, especially for those who have been unmindful of its affair and didn't prepare for it for that time. Tayyib, the last question, discuss the main point which will be taken, which is to be taken from this hadith. The main point that is to be taken from this hadith. Now,
the command to hasten to do good deeds before one of these seven things occurred.
The command to hasten in doing good deeds, being occupied with doing good deeds, giving care to doing good deeds before any one of these, yani seven things before you. Now, anything add to it? Now,
getting accustomed to do good deeds, so it's like a habit.
Okay, accustoming yourself to doing good deeds so that it becomes a habit and it becomes easy and your nafs will comply, alaykum salam, to it. Anything else? Uh-huh.
It's not befitting of a Muslim to not be aware of death.
Naam.
They don't know when death will come to them, and it become like suddenly, like one of the seven. So one must continue to do the good deeds before, because they don't know when they will die.
Naam. It's not becoming of a Muslim to be unconcerned or unprepared or inattentive to the matter of death. Yani rather, a person should always know that it could come suddenly, and therefore, and he tried to occupy oneself with doing good deeds. Anything else? And also we mentioned last week, yani concerning this matter now.
It's incumbent for the human being to do the good deeds, even if it's difficult, because it's likely that it won't be easy.
Naam. To do good deeds even if you meet difficulty in doing them, even if you find hardship in doing them, even if doing good deeds wear you out. Huh? Even if it's a struggle and a hardship, do it before, yani, you won't be able to do it. Before the time will pass you by, and then there will only be regret, yani nadam, at the time when regret will not benefit at all. So this hadith, yani, that we covered, yani, in the last 2 weeks, a very important hadith, yani, let us, yani, try to do the best we can to, yani, reflect upon it. And to go back and look at it sometimes so that we can benefit yani, from some of the points that are contained in this hadith. Okay, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to look at the last hadith in this section, Al-Mubadarat ila al-Khayrat. And this hadith, as I mentioned earlier, is a hadith that encourages one to hasten to fulfill that which you have been commanded with, that which you have been ordered to do. And of course, first and foremost, yani, the hadith is directed towards the commands. A person has been commanded, as in this hadith we'll see, that the Prophet ﷺ gave a command to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he hastened to fulfill it without hesitation or delay, without yani reservation or consideration. He hastened to step forward to fulfill the command of the Prophet ﷺ. And so, first and foremost, is hastening to do those things we have been commanded to. And those are yani the first thing that we'll be called to account for, that which is obligatory upon us. But it also could be understood hastening to do even those things that we have not been commanded with, if we have been encouraged. Yani if we know that these things are commendable, rewardable, beneficial, yani and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is hadith, as we mentioned, 94, the 8th hadith in this section. Imam Nawawi says, وَعَنْهُ يعني عَنْ يعني أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يعني the previous hadith also. So he said, وَعَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ يعني that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said on the day of Khaybar. يعني this is what he said on the day of Khaybar. لَعُوتِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَةَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يعني, on the day of Khaybar, the Prophet ﷺ said, I will definitely give this raya, yani this flag, the flag of the leader of the army. I will give this flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger. And Allah will grant victory at His hands. Allah will grant victory at His hands. Keeping in mind that this place, Khaybar, the Prophet ﷺ had previously sent two missions that were unable to conquer Khaybar. He had already sent yani people before. And now he said, this time he's going to give it to a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory at his hands. A man who loves Allah and loves the Messenger of Allah. قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يعني عمر he said ما أحببت الإمارة إلا يومئذ يعني I never desired leadership to be in a position of the as the Amir, إمارة except on this day. And يعني we should note here that عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه is one of the noble, distinguished يعني companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the foremost of the companions. And the meaning here is not that he that day wanted to be a leader. Rather, he wanted the distinction, the description that the Prophet ﷺ described, the person who would be the leader of that detachment. He wanted to be described with that. He desired that I should be described as one who loves Allah and His Messenger. Not the leadership itself, but rather, yani how the Prophet described ﷺ, the one who he would give the flag to. And of course, every believer would love to be described as being one who loves Allah and His Messenger. And every one of us claim that we love Allah and His Messenger. Wouldn't it be something that the Messenger of Allah described you as one who loves Allah and His Messenger? Because, I mean, he wouldn't be saying that except that Allah had revealed that to him. So just, so that a person doesn't, like the Shiites, they like to take a hadith like this and twist it. Wallahi. They will take this hadith and see, Umar, he just wanted the dunya. That's how they do. These twisted people. Allahu musta'an. So he said, مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَةِ إِلَّا يَوْمَئِذٍ I had no desire, for the position of leadership except on that particular day. فَتَسَاوَرْتُ لَهَا رَجَعَ أَيْعُدَعَ لَهَا So he said, I put myself forward. He stood up or tried to make himself appear in front of the Prophet ﷺ, so the Prophet could see him. Perhaps he might be the one chosen to be given the flag to. So the Prophet could see him, so the Prophet could remember him, so that he wouldn't be missed if he was the one that the Prophet would give it to. So he said he put himself forward, so that with hope that he would be called, to be given this flag. فَدَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Ali ibn Abi Talib. The people spent the night after the Prophet ﷺ said this, and the following day the people came out, and the Prophet and people, not only Umar but other people also, and in other narrations of the hadith, people said, I also wanted to be that one. But at that point, the Prophet ﷺ, he called for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, فأتاه إياها, and he gave him, he gave him the flag, the banner of the leader. And the Shaykh discussed this hadith a little bit, so I won't explain it completely in detail. We'll try to wait until the Shaykh elaborates on it so that we can save time. But at first, when the people came forward on that morning, Ali wasn't there. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, where is Ali? And they excused Ali. They made an excuse for him. It's not that he wouldn't want to be here, but he's sick. He has something wrong with his eyes. He can't see. That's why he's absent. He has a legitimate excuse. Because everybody is supposed to be there, right? The Prophet ﷺ is going to appoint somebody as the leader of an army. Everybody is supposed to show up. But Ali wasn't there, and the people made an excuse for him. They didn't make it up. He really had an excuse. There was something wrong with his eyes, and he couldn't see. So they said that, and then the Prophet ﷺ called for him, and he was brought. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua for him, and he blew some spittle or some spit or something, moisted air in the eyes of Ali. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to be cured instantly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for Ali radiallahu anhu, and he gave him the flag, أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهَا the raya. He gave him the flag, وَقَالَ إِمْشِي وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ حَتَّى يَفْتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go forward, proceed, إِمْشِي وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ and don't look around. Don't turn around. Don't look in any other direction. Just go forward. Keep your focus on your mission. Go straight ahead. Hatta يفتح الله عليك, until Allah grants victory, يعني bestows victory upon you. فسار علي رضي الله عنه شيئا ثم وقف ولم يلتفت. يعني so Ali رضي الله عنه at the command instantly proceeded, and he went a little distance and then he stopped and he did not turn in any direction. يعني as the Prophet ﷺ said, don't turn, go forward and don't turn. So he didn't turn, but he wanted to ask a question. فَصَرَخَ, so he raised his voice very high, at his highest voice. يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَاذَا وَقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, يعني O Messenger of Allah, يعني based upon what shall I fight the people, يعني what am I fighting them upon, يعني for what thing am I fighting them. The Prophet ﷺ said, يعني قَاتِلْهُمْ حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. He said, fight them until they bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the Messenger of Allah. يعني على ماذا أقاتل, يعني what, on what basis shall I fight them? Fight them for the establishment of the deen of Allah until they bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, so if they do this, يعني if they say this and if they make this testimony, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ مَنَعُوا مِنْكَ دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, so if or when they say this, and if they do this, meaning if they say this word, this bearing witness, then they would have prevented from you, yani their blood and their wealth. Yani they would have, yani prevented you from spilling their blood or taking their property. إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا, except بِحَقِّهَا, due to the rights that this statement, this shahada of لا إله إلا الله Muhammad Rasulullah, except due to its rights. It has rights. And except, yani you can't spill their blood, you can't take their wealth, unless yani they didn't fulfill the rights of the shahadatain of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and after that their account is with Allah, meaning yani if they say this and they openly fulfill the rights of it, then whether they are sincere or not, that's with Allah. Allah will call them to account for that. But in this world, yani they are free. They are protected. And in the next life, Allah would then judge who has said this sincerely or truthfully. And this is for every one of us. Yani that when a person pronounced the shahadatain, these two statements, then we should know that even though in this world we get credit for it and we'll be treated accordingly, but in the next life, Allah will judge every person according to what he knows that's in the hearts. And the Shaykh, he says in the explanation of this hadith that the Mu'allif, that is Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, said in that which he has conveyed from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Khaybar, لَعُوْتِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, that I would definitely, yani, and by the way, the Shaykh explains in the end of this discussion, but we should make it clear now just so that nobody doesn't misunderstand, yani, that the Prophet ﷺ is expressing to the people something that he had in mind to do. Not that he has definitively made firm resolve to do so, but this is what is inside of himself that he's thinking, that I'm going to give the banner tomorrow to a man to be the leader of an army, yani, who loves Allah and His Messenger. This is what yani he has within himself, that he's thinking, he is expressing this to the people, that I will give the flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger. The Shaykh says, وَفِي لَفْذٍ, and in another wording of this hadith, وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, yani a man who يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ, he loves Allah وَرَسُولُهُ and His Messenger. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ, and Allah loves him. وَرَسُولُهُ, and also His Messenger loves that man. Yani that man loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger also loves him. And this came in another authentic narration, yani where Both of these descriptions were given for the man who was going to be given the flag tomorrow. Yani, in some of the narrations say غدًا, I will give the flag to someone غدًا, yani tomorrow, who he loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger loves him. So the people spent the night, yani, discussing this affair, yani, who would be given the banner. I just want to mention here, just as a reference, from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 54th Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهِ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Yani, whoever turns back from their deen, apostates from Islam, then Allah will bring a people, yani, يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ, a people whom Allah loves them, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, and they love Allah to the end of the ayah. This is a very important ayah that gives some descriptions of the believers, but the first part of it is what I wanted to refer to here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a people who He will bring as a replacement for the people who are not doing what He has called them to. He will bring a people who He loves them, and they will love Him. So this is very important, that there is this love between the believers, yani loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loving them, as it is mentioned in this hadith. The Shaykh says, the day of Khaybar, يعني يوم غزوة Khaybar. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يوم Khaybar, he said on the day of Khaybar. The Shaykh says, what is meant by يوم Khaybar? It means the day of the battle of Khaybar, the day in which this battle was to take place. And he said, the Khaybar is حسون ومزارية كانت لليهود. يعني they were fortresses and farmlands that belonged to the Jews. Yani, this place Khaybar was a place where the Jews had built fortresses that were almost impenetrable, and farms that they farmed, that's where they made their living from. The place called Khaybar, its distance from Medina is approximately 100 miles. نحو الشمال الغربي, yani northwest of Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ, yani, conquered this place, as is known from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. And those people who were working in Khaybar, yani working the fields in Khaybar, he said they were the Yahud. So the Prophet ﷺ made a treaty with them after he conquered with them. He made a treaty with them, and the basis of it was that they would be allowed to remain farming in their place where they were in Khaybar. They will remain as farmers there. Muzari'ina bin nisf, yani they will be, yani, entitled to half of the, yani, crop that will come. Half will be for them and half will be for the Muslims. Yani, the agreement between them and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he would allow them to stay there and they would continue to farm, and half of the produce would come, yani, would return to them, and half of it would be given, yani, to the Muslims. So they remained there on this agreement. Hatta ajlahum Umar al-Khattab, yani hatta akhrajahum, yani until Umar ibn al-Khattab, yani, forced them out, until he removed them, and they had to leave. And this was during his khilafah, yani during the khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he forced these people to go to Sham and to a place called Azri'at, yani, which is, and in the southern, a small city in the southern part of the state of Syria. But in any case, yani, Sham at that time was a general area, a very large area that included Syria and Jordan and Palestine and that area of the land. So he forced them out and they were removed to Sham. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, his statement in this hadith, that I will definitely give the flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger. Al-Raya, the Shaykh says, is what we call today al-alam, yani a flag. And it is carried by the leader of the army so that the army can follow behind him. Yani, he will have a flag and they will see the flag, because maybe there are a lot of people, right? So they will follow him by following the flag. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعُتِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَةِ, yani I will give this flag to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger. Rajulan here is nakira, meaning that it is indefinite. Yani, meaning that what? لا يعلم من هو. Yani, it's not known who he will give it to. Even the Prophet ﷺ, maybe he didn't already decide who he's going to give it to, but he's going to give it to someone, and he's going to give it to someone who's going to be described with this description. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, I hoped, I wish, yani, for the leadership. I never wished for the leadership except for on that particular day, so that I would be, yani, it would be for me, yani, this description that the Prophet ﷺ has said about the man who will be given the flag. So he said, I put myself forward, yani, so that I could be seen by the Prophet ﷺ. And he also mentions here, the Shaykh mentions, that the people spent that night, yani, after this statement, they spent that night, yani, going into this affair, discussing it in some detail. يَدُوْقُونَ يَعْنِي يَخُوذُونَ وَيَتَحَدَّثُونَ يعني discussing in detail this matter, every one of them hoping that he would be given the flag. يعني not just Umar, everybody wished that they would be that one described by the Prophet ﷺ on this occasion. So when the morning came, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَيْنَ عَلِي ibn Abi Talib? يعني where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? يعني his, the son of his uncle, يعني his cousin Ali رضي الله عنه. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, he is complaining of his eyes. He has some problem with his eyes, and he has some pain in his eyes. So the Prophet ﷺ called for him, and some of the narration said, he supplicated for him. And then he, and he spit into his eyes. And bara'a, fabara'a, ka'an lam yakun bihi waj'un fil hal. And he instantly was cured from the problem that he had. Yani ka'an lam yakun, as though there was never a problem. Yani no trace of it. As though he had never had any problem whatsoever, it was removed from him, and the Shaykh says, Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Huh? Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Yani, this is not something to look at in any way except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does whatever He wills. He did it through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's the power of Allah. And He does whatever He wills, and that's easy for Allah. And then after this, yani the Prophet ﷺ gave the flag to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he said to him, Imshi wa la taltafit hatta yaftah Allah alayka. Go forward and do not look about until Allah, yani, brings about the victory, grants you the victory. فَفَعَلَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So Ali, he did it. Yani, did it. He did as he was commanded. He proceeded. فَلَمَّا مَشَى قَلِيلًا وَقَفْ. Then when he walked a little bit, he stopped. وَلَكَنَّهُ لَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ. But he didn't look around. Yani why? Because the Prophet ﷺ had said to him, don't look around. So he raised his voice to the highest that he could, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, عَلَى مَاذَا أُقَاتِلُهُمْ. Yani, عَلَى مَاذَا أُقَاتِلُ النَّاسِ. What is it? Based on what? Yani, what will be the foundation of me fighting the people over what? And he did this without looking around, and that is because the Messenger of Allah ﷺ told him, don't look around. And this also, I'm just making a quick note here, that yani how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ followed the instructions of the Prophet exactly. They didn't say, maybe he meant this or maybe he meant that. No, this is what he said, that's it. No discussion. Don't look around, I'm not looking around. Like us, maybe, we say, it probably doesn't mean don't look around. Anyway, I got to ask him a question so I can look around for that. No, he said, he didn't look around. He said, don't look around, I'm not looking around. But he raised his voice loud as he could. Ya Rasulullah, ala ma'ala wa qatil al-nas. Yani, what is the foundation of me? Yani, going forward to fight the people. Over what? Yani, what's the matter? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, said to him, "Qatilhum hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." And he fight them until they bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. And the Shaykh says, "هذه الكلمة كلمة عظيمة." Yani, this statement is a tremendous, magnificent kalima, a statement, a tremendous statement. Yani the statement what? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Shaykh says, وَلَوْ وَزِنَتْ بِهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ لَرَجَحَتْ. And in our copy of the book it says رَجَعَتْ with عَيْن, it should be ha. رَجَحَتْ. Yani رَجَحَ, something becomes, overcomes some preponderant over it. يعني لو وزنت بها السماوات والأرض. يعني if this statement of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله was weighed on scales with the heavens and the earth, it would outweigh them. It would outweigh the heavens and the earth. نعم. And then the Shaykh says, هذه الكلمة يدخل بها الإنسان من الكفر, should be من الكفر إلى الإسلام. The word إلى, the preposition is left out here. يعني it is by this word that a person enters from disbelief into الإسلام. من الكفر إلى الإسلام. بها, بهذه الكلمة. فهي باب الإسلام. So it is the doorway, the entry point to al-Islam, yani the testimony of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Naam. And here I just want to make a note, yani also of a hadith that's authentic, this answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ali, yani what shall he fight the people upon? He said, fight them until they bear witness that there is nothing which deserves worship except Allah and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And in an authentic hadith, it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, Umirtu, that I have been commanded. Yani, he said, like he told Ali, this is what you're going to fight for. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, Umirtu and uqatil al-nas hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah. That I have been commanded to fight the people on this basis until they bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. فَإِذَا قَالُوهَا, so if they said it, عَسَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاعَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. So if they say it, then they will have protection from me for their blood and for their property, except by the right of Islam. Except by whatever yani is upon them, obligatory upon them due to Islam. And there are some other points too, but anyway, let's get back to the Shaykh's explanation. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, yani in this hadith it says, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, in the hadith that we just mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قَالُوا ذَلِكَ. So the meaning of فَعَلُوا here, it is قَالُوا. Yani if they do this, meaning if they say this, فَقَدْ مَنَعُوا مِنْكَ دِمَاعَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, then they would be, yani this would be a preventive factor. This would prevent you from their wealth and their property, illa bihaqqiha, except due to its right. Yani the right of this statement, la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, wa hisabuhum ala Allah, and the accounting of that which is unknown to us and unseen, and that which is in the heart, in their aqidah, in their belief. Yani this will be taken to account by Allah. Shaykh says here, if they say, we bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُقَاتَلُونَ, then they should not be fought. And if they say this, then you should not fight against them. مَنَعُوا, يعني will be prevented from their, يعني from spilling their blood or taking their wealth, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا, except by its right. A, بِحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, except by the right of the statement of la ilaha illallah. What are its rights? What are its requirements? Yani, when a person says that, what is expected of them? What is mandatory upon them? Meaning the huquq al-tabi'a laha. Yani the rights that are connected to la ilaha illallah. When a person says that, then there are rights and obligations connected to it, and a person has to fulfill them. لأن la ilaha illallah ليست مجرد لفظ يقوله الإنسان بلسانه. It's not just an expression that a person says on their tongue. بَلْ لَهَا شُرُوط, it has conditions. وَلَهَا أُمُورْ لَابُدَّ أَن تُتَمُّ, and it has affairs that must be completed, that must be fulfilled, that must be يعني done. وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ لِبَعْدِ السَّلَفِ, and for this reason has been said يعني to one of the people from the predecessors, the early predecessors, the early generations of the Muslims, إِنَّ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مِفْتَحَ الْجَنَّةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, يعني in a narration in hadith reported by Al-Bazar, yani it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Miftahul Jannah, shahadati an la ilaha illallah," yani that the key to paradise is one's bearing witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. In this narration in Al-Bazar, yani it has in the Sanad Shahad ibn Hushayb Hawshab, yani from Mu'adh, yani that the narrator who narrated this hadith from Mu'adh, لم يسمع منه, he didn't hear any hadith from Mu'adh, and for that reason, يعني some of the scholars say that this hadith has some weakness. Shaykh al-Albani and Shaykh al-Arnaud, both of them declared this hadith to be weak. In any case, it is also ascribed to Wahab ibn Munabbi, And the Shaykh is referring to him when he says وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ لِبَعْدِ السَّلَفِ He means Wahab ibn Munabbih rahimahullah. It was said to him that أَلَيْسَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مِفْتَحُ الْجَنَّةِ يعني isn't it so that this statement of لا إله إلا الله is the key to Jannah. And in the narration that's reported by Al-Bukhari مُعَلَّقًا without a complete chain of narration, but it's reported by Al-Bukhari, this يعني this ascription to Wahab ibn Munabbih, when he was asked, isn't it so that the يعني the key of paradise is La ilaha illallah, he said, Bala, walakin laysa miftah illa يعني lahu asnan. He said, yes, that's true, but there's no key except that it must have teeth. فَإِن جِئْتَ بِمِفْتَح لَهُ أَسْنَان فُتِحَ So if you come with a key that has teeth, then يعني فَتَحَ وَفُتِحَ It will open or it will be opened, لَكَ وَإِلَّا لَمْ يَفْتَح لَكَ But if it doesn't have teeth, then يعني nothing will be opened by a key, right, that doesn't have teeth. This ascription of this report is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, but like I said, mu'allakan, meaning that he didn't bring the complete chain. But in any case, it's well known that it's ascribed to Wahab ibn Munabbih, rahimahullah. يعني this statement about the key to Jannah is the testimony of La ilaha illallah. Indeed, it is the key to Jannah, and as the Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ لَبُدِّ مِنْ عَمَلٍ However, a person must not just make the statement, but they must do deeds, because the key has a need, and it needs to have teeth. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ صَدَقَ يعني صَدَقَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ يعني he has spoken the truth, may Allah have mercy upon him, يعني the one who said this. Indeed, the key, it requires teeth. And if a person comes with a key without teeth, then يعني, it will not open for you. يعني, it will not open anything. Here the Shaykh says, for this reason, the statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا يَشْمَلْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يُكَفِّرُ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ مَا قَوْلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يعني the statement of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا بحقها يعني the meaning is what? That a person يعني who makes this statement they will be protected their wealth and their property their life and their property will be protected إلا بحقها except by its rights this statement إلا بحقها includes everything that a human being يكفر به الإنسان would be declared to be a kafir due to it. While he is saying La ilaha illallah. And a person is saying La ilaha illallah, but if there are things that while he is saying that, he will go out of Islam by those things. So, yani this is included here. Yani meaning that a person's life and their wealth is protected, except by the right of this statement, and from its rights is that yani a person cannot do anything that takes them out of Islam. So whoever does something that takes them out of Islam, even while they're saying La ilaha illallah, so yani they don't come under this ruling yani, that they will be protected, their life and their wealth will be protected. فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَفَرَ وَإِنْ كَانَ يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَكِنَّهُ أَتَى بِمُكَفِّرٍ فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ So therefore the person who commits an act of disbelief, even if he is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, nonetheless, if he ata bi mukaffiran, yani he does something that causes the person to go out of Islam, then this word, this statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah will not benefit him. So this yani also reminds us of the importance of the need of knowing what are the things that take a person out of Islam. And what are the things that nullify a person's shahada? Because the person may be saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but then they are saying things or doing things that remove a person from Islam. And in that case, what they have said would be of no benefit to them. For this reason, the Shaykh, he says, and for this reason, that when a person comes with, performs, commits an act that takes you out of Islam, يعني then your statement of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله will not be of any benefit. He said, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ The hypocrites, they used to remember Allah. They used to mention Allah. They used to praise Allah and glorify Him. يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They used to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And if you saw them, you would be amazed by their bodies, by their outer appearance, by their form. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا. يعني, it would be as though they are the most perfect of the believers in Iman. يعني, the way they look, the way they talk, their appearance looks so good. You will be amazed by them. وَيَأْتُونَ لِلْرَسُولِ. And even they used to come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they used to say to him, نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Not لَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. لَا هِيَ meaning فَتَأْكِيد. نَشْهَدُ, we bear witness. إِنَّكَ, indeed you are. لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Definitely the Messenger of Allah. Huh? We bear witness. Indeed you are definitely the Messenger of Allah. They used to come to him and they would say like this. However, as Allah mentions in another place in the Quran, yani in Surah Al-Fat, I think, yani يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Yani they say with their tongues what's not in their hearts. Yani they are saying this on their tongue, but that's not what's in their hearts. So the Shaykh, he says, they used to come to the Messenger and they used to say to him, we bear witness that indeed, certainly you are the Messenger of Allah. And this kalam of theirs is مُؤَكَّدٌ بِثَلَاثَ مُؤَكِّدَاتٍ. Yani, it is confirmed or emphasized with three, yani, linguistic forms of emphasis. Nashhadu, first, yani, we bear witness. Wa inna, which is for ta'akid or tawqid, definitely, certainly, surely. Wa lam, and this lam for ta'akid also in, innaka la rasulullah. Yani, for ta'akid, for emphasis. Yani, for what? Saying definitely, certainly, surely, you are the Messenger of Allah. The Shaykh said they came with this speech, yani emphasizing in three different ways that certainly, surely, definitely you are the Messenger of Allah. وَقَالَ رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. But Allah, yani the one of the Lord of honor and majesty, the one who knows what's in the hearts, yani the secrets of what's inside, as opposed to what people are saying on their tongues, Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ. Yani, and Allah knows that indeed you are His Messenger. Meaning, yani, we don't need the hypocrites to say you are the Messenger of Allah. Allah knows that already. Khalas, we don't need their testimony. Their testimony is useless. Allah knows that you are His Messenger. We don't need what they are saying. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah bears witness that indeed the munafiqun, these hypocrites, that they are liars. This is in Surah Al-Munafiqun. Yani the 63rd surah, first ayah. And the meaning here is that Allah knows what is inside the hearts of those people that's contrary to what they're saying on their tongues. And so Allah said what? إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يعني وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah bears witness that indeed the hypocrites, لَكَاذِبُونَ, are definitely liars. Meaning, the lie is what? That what they are saying on their tongue is not true. They are not believing that in their heart. They are lying when they are saying, we believe in our heart that you are the Messenger of Allah. That's the lie. Not the statement, indeed you are the Messenger of Allah, is truth. But the lie is what? That they are saying something on their tongue that their claiming is in their heart, that's the lie. Yani, that's not really in their heart. Rather, what's in their heart is contrary to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms the lying of these people. Yani, and what they are saying. Yani, lying that they are saying, we bear witness that you are the Messenger of Allah, with all of these, yani, linguistic forms of confirmation and affirmation, when in fact, yani, that's not really what they believe. This is not what is in their heart. So the Shaykh says, فَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَعْصَمْ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ. Not every person who says لا إله إلا الله is protect, his blood and wealth is protected. Not everyone who says this is going to have his blood and his, yani, his life and his wealth protected. And that's because the Prophet ﷺ made istithna here. He made an exception. He said that their life and their property will be protected with the exception, illa bihaqqiha, except, yani, except for those who do not fulfill the rights of la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. So here the Shaykh, now he gives us an example of how some people, their life and their wealth will not be protected, even though they are saying La ilaha illallah. He said that when the people had held back the zakat, those Arabs who held back the zakat after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu prepared to fight them. Immediately he prepared to fight them. So some of the companions spoke to him about this, and they said, كَيْفَ تُقَاتِلُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. How can you fight them? How can you kill them? And they're saying La ilaha illallah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Wallahi law qatilanna man farraka bayna salat wa zakat. Indeed, I would definitely fight against those who make a difference between the salat and the zakat. They are praying but they are not giving zakat? No. The zakat is haqqul mal. It is a right over the wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that their life and their wealth is protected illa bihaqqiha, except by his rights. And from the rights of this statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is that not only that they pray, but they also have to give the zakat. So he fought them, radiallahu anhu, for this reason, and he was granted victory over them, walillahi alhamd. So the Shaykh said, فالحاصل, so the summary of the matter is that أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُمْنَعُ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَلَكِنْ لَبُدَّ مِنْ حَقٍّ. Not every person who says La ilaha illallah is going to be, or is going to have his blood and his wealth protected, but rather there must be the fulfillment of the rights, the obligations, those things that come with, that are attached to this statement of La ilaha illallah. And for this reason, now here the Shaykh gives some other examples of people who would be fought and their blood could be spilled in spite of the fact that they claim to be Muslims. He said, for this reason, the ulama, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon them, they said that if a village from the villages, of the Muslims, if a village, tarakul adhan wal iqama, they abandoned calling the adhan and the iqama, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَفَّرُونَ وَلَكِنْ يُقَاتَلُونَ, then they should not be declared to be kafirs, however they will be fought against. We don't say they went out of Islam, but this is a right upon them from Islam that they have to openly display some of the aspects of Islam, and from amongst them is the adhan and iqama. And so the scholars of Islam, they said, if a people would abandon the adhan and iqama, then they would not be declared to be kafirs, but they would be fought against. Their blood would become permissible until they begin to pronounce the adhan and the iqama. Even though the adhan and iqama are not from the pillars of Islam, they are not from the arkan of Islam, لَكِنَّهَا مِنْ حُقُوقَ الْإِسْلَامِ, but they are from the obligations or the rights of Islam upon the people, that is to establish the salat openly. Naam. They said also, the scholars he means, they said, وَلَوْ تَرَقُوا صَلَاتُ الْعِيدِ, for example. If the people abandon the Salatul Eid, and even though the Salatul Eid is not from the five obligatory, فَرَائِدِ الْخَمْسَ, the five obligatory duties. Even though, the five prayers a day, there are five prayers a day which are obligatory upon us, and Salatul Eid is not from among them. However, for people abandoned the open performance of Salatul Eid, then it is obligatory to fight them. To fight them, he means بِالصَّيْف وَالرَّصَاص, meaning with weapons of war. Not figuratively speaking. He means literally to fight them until they perform the Salatul Eid. And this is in spite of the fact Salatul Eid is Fard Kifaya. This is one of the opinions of the scholars, that Salatul Eid is Fard Kifaya, meaning that it is obligatory upon who? Some of the people. As long as some of the people do it, the rest of the people are free of blame. This is the opinion of some of the scholars. He said another opinion is that it's Sunnah عند بعض العلماء. Some scholars say it's not even Fard Kifaya, it's Sunnah. And some scholars said that it's Fard Ain على قول الراجي. And Sheikh says, and third opinion is that يعني the Salat al-Eid is fard ayn, meaning it's obligatory on every individual, adult sane Muslim. And he said this is the يعني stronger, more correct opinion of the three opinions. But here the Shaykh says لكن الكلام على القتال قد يجوز مع إسلام المقاتلين. يعني here what we are talking about, what is that fighting is permissible in spite of the fact that the people who you're fighting have Islam. Even though they have Islam, there are some cases in which it's permissible to fight them and to spill their blood. لِيُذَعِنُوا لِشَعَائِرِ الْإِسْلَامِ الظَّاهِرَةِ. And this is so that what? So that the people will quickly comply, surrender, conform, and be obedient to fulfilling the شَعَائِرِ of Islam الظَّاهِرَةِ. يعني the open apparent signs and symbols of Islam. So that the people will comply with this. And so they will hasten and be obedient to comply, to humbly comply, to fulfilling those things which are obligatory to be done openly as a part of Islam. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, yani that, yani the people's blood and their wealth is protected, illa bihaqqiha. And this is from the haqq of the, yani the right of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, from his rights, that the people show open display of Islam. The Shaykh says, يعني in this hadith, يعني this is the final point of this hadith. وفي هذا الحديث دليل على أنه يجوز للإنسان أن يقول لأفعلن كذا في المستقبل. يعني in this hadith is an indication that it's permissible for a person to say لأفعلن, I will definitely do such and such in the future. يعني tonight, tomorrow, the next day. وإن لم يقول إن شاء الله. Even if the person didn't say Inshallah. What is the meaning here? What is the Shaykh saying here?
You can say I will do something in the future without saying it's permissible.
Without saying Inshallah. Inshallah. Right. This might yani cause some problem, right? So the Shaykh said in this hadith, yani why is he saying this anyway? Why is he making this point? What's the indication in this hadith of this point now?
Allah tells us in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a verse in the Quran, that if you're going to say and do something, then say, inshallah, only for Allah.
Naam. But why is the Shaykh saying in this hadith is a proof that you can say I'm going to do something without saying inshallah, when Allah said, don't say you will do anything tomorrow, except that you say inshallah. Now, huh? Because the Prophet said, I'm going to do something. And he didn't say inshallah. In that hadith. Right? He didn't say inshallah. So the Shaykh is saying, then this hadith is a proof that a person can say, I'm going to do something tomorrow without saying inshallah. And the problem here is that the Quran, in the Quran, we know that Allah said, don't say you're going to do something tomorrow except you say inshallah. And then the Prophet said, I'm going to do something tomorrow. And he didn't say inshallah. So the Shaykh is saying, yani this is a point that it's a fine point, but yani it needs to be understood, right? So the Shaykh, yani he went to some length to explain it, and yani the matter is not that complicated, but he said in this hadith is a proof that it is permissible for a person to say, I will do something in the future without saying inshallah. However, in order to understand this, it's obligatory to know what is the difference between shakhsun yukhbir amma fi nafsihi. Yani the difference between a person just informing, expressing to someone what he's thinking inside of himself. يُخْبِرْ عَمَّا فِي نَفْسِهِ. Yani something he's thinking about himself, it's permissible to express it. This is what I'm thinking about. And he hasn't made firm resolve necessarily to do that thing, but he's saying, I'm thinking about this. It's permissible to say it. That I'm really seriously thinking tomorrow I might travel. I haven't made any firm resolve about it yet, but this is what I'm thinking. So a person could say that, meaning that I'm thinking about doing this. I'm really seriously thinking about traveling tomorrow. But I haven't made up my mind yet. So if a person says that, they don't have to say. That's the bottom line, what the Shaykh is saying. To make, it's obligatory to make the distinction between the person, شخصٌ يُخْبِرْ عَمَّا فِي نَفْسِهِ. He's just expressing, informing someone about what he's thinking about within himself. وَشَخْصٌ يُخْبِرْ أَنَّهُ سَيَفْعَلُ يعني يُرِيدُ الْفِعْلُ. The difference between that and the person who informs someone that I'm going to definitely do this. Yani I intend to do this. Yani making firm, I have firm resolve to do something. There's a difference between somebody just saying, I'm thinking about doing something, within themselves they're thinking about this and they say it, and the person who states categorically that I have made firm resolve to do something, to do this particular action. As far as the first one who's just expressing what he's thinking about within himself, فَلَا بَسْ أَن يَقُولُوا سَأَفْعَلُوا بِدُونَ إِنْشَاءَ. Then there's no harm in that person saying, I'm going to do something, meaning I'm thinking about doing something, without saying inshallah. And this is because إِنَّمَا يُخْبِرُ عَنْ مَا فِي نَفْسِهِ. He's just informing the people what he's thinking about within himself. أَمَّا الثَّانِي, as for the second one, الَّذِي يُرِيدُ, يُرِيدُ, يعني إِرَادَة, he has intent, resolve to do something, he has made intent to do this, يعني I'm going to do this. الَّذِي يُرِيدُ أَنَّهُ يَفْعَلُ, he intends to do something, أَيُوقِعَ الْفِعْلُ فِعْلًا, يعني he intends to do this action, to make this happen for sure. يعني there's a difference between that one and this one, the second one, who has firm resolve to do something. فَهَذَا لَا يَقُولُ إِلَّا مُقَيِّدًا بِالْمَشِيَّةِ. This one, who is expressing what he has firm resolve to do, then he should not say this, except that he ties it to the will of Allah. يعني مُقَيِّدًا بِالْمَشِيَّةِ, يعني that he ties it to the will of Allah. يعني I definitely intend to do this, I have firm resolve to do so and so. This one must tie the statement, his firm resolve, to يعني the Mashiach of Allah. And this is because يعني what the brother Waleed mentioned here from Surah Al-Kahf, and 18th Surah, 23rd and 24th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ, do not say about anything, إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا, that I'm gonna definitely do this tomorrow, إِلَّا إِيَ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, except يعني that it is the will of Allah. Do not say about anything that I'm definitely gonna do this tomorrow, يعني later, whatever, tonight, except that you say يعني inshallah. So there's indeed a difference between the one who's just informing about what he's thinking within himself and the one who's saying that indeed I intend to do something tomorrow. Because tomorrow is not for you, you're not guaranteed it. رُبَّمَا تَمُوتُ قَبْلَ غَدٍ, perhaps you will die before tomorrow, you don't know, huh? Or رُبَّمَا تَبْقَى وَلَكِنْ يَكُونُ هُنَاكَ مَوَانِيَ وَمَصَارِفَ أو سَوَارِفَ, يعني perhaps you might not die, يعني perhaps you will be still living tomorrow, you will remain tomorrow, but there might be some موانيع, some things that prevent you, that stop you from doing what you intend to do, or سوارف, يعني those things that turn you away from what you intend to do, يعني there might be that which stops you, prevents you, you can't do it, or there might be some turning away of your, turning you away from that intent, what you intend to do. Something came over you that changed your mind. Perhaps you will remain, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn your, yani, your intent. You have an inclination, a himma, to do something. Allah may turn you away from that, as happens, yaqa'a kathiran. And this happens a lot, right? A person has a firm intent to do something, and then Allah turns their mind, changes their mind. Allah turns them away. And the Shaykh, he says, this happens a lot. Yani many times a person intends to do something, really they intend to do it tomorrow, or they intend to do it at the end of the day, and then Allah turns their inclination, yani their intent, away from what they intended. And for this reason, yani the Shaykh says, it was said to some of the Bedouins, and he says, and the Bedouins, subhanallah, عندهم أحياناً جواب فطري, يعني that the Bedouins sometimes they have a natural answer, يعني it didn't come from studying in school, studying science or something, they just within themselves, Allah has placed in them because of what? The environment that they live in, they're connected to nature, so they sometimes their thinking is different than the other people. He said that sometimes the Bedouins, they have a natural answer. It was said to one of them, بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ, يعني by what? How did you know your Rabb? فَأَجَابَ قَائِلًا, he said, الأثر يدل على المسير, يعني the traces in the sand point to somebody traveling along the way. وَالْبَعْرَةُ, يعني this word in the book is written a little bit different, it should be الْبَعْرَةُ, with تَرْمَبُوتَ, and then يعني the waste, يعني the dung of the animal, تدل على البعير, indicates يعني that there is a camel. يعني if you see the dung on the ground, you know that in New York City you could see the traces of what? The kilab everywhere. Right? You know that there's dogs here because their waste is everywhere. You can hardly walk down the street, except that the dog mess helps you not to look at what is happening around you, right? So you have to keep your eyes on the ground. So otherwise there's no good in it whatsoever, but that's one benefit we get, right? We keep our eyes on the ground where they belong. Naam. So the Bedouin, he said, Yani what? He said that the traces, the tracks in the sand indicate a traveler, and the dung from the animal indicates the camel has passed through here. فَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْأَبْرَاجِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الْفِجَاجِ وَبِحَارِ ذَاتِ الْأَمْوَاجِ أَلَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى السَّمِيعِ الْبَصِيرِ. So isn't it so that if the traces indicate the masir, the traveler, and the ba'ra indicates the ba'ir, the camel, then isn't it so that the sky with the heavenly bodies that it contains, and the land with the tracks between the great mountains, or the seas that possess tremendous waves, doesn't all of this indicate or point to As-Sami' al-Basir, yani the one who hears everything and who sees everything? Allahu Akbar. Yani the Shaykh says, the Bedouins, they might not know anything, لا يعرفه ولكنه استدل بعقله. He doesn't have knowledge like scientific knowledge, but he is able to use as a proof to indicate the existence of Allah just by his intellect. So these are from, yani these things that the Bedouin pointed to, the heavenly bodies in the sky, and the tracks of land between the mountains so that people can get through them, and the waves of the sea. These are great, tremendous matters that point to a creator who has created them and who controls them. Naam, wallahi, indeed it is so. And then the Shaykh comes to another statement from the Bedouins that is really to the point that he wants to discuss here. I guess, yani he mentioned the first one because it's well known. He's showing the intellect of the Bedouins. He said another one was asked, how did you know your Rabb? And that one said, بِنَقْطِ الْعَزَائِمْ وَصَرْفِ الْحِمَمْ فَكَيْفَ هَذَا. Yani, he said, how do we know, yani, how do you know your Rabb? He said, بِنَقْطِ الْعَزَائِمْ, by breaking the firm resolve. Yani, people make firm resolve to do something, and Allah breaks that firm resolve. And they have firm resolve to do them, and they don't do it. Allah breaks it. Yani, eliminates it, nullifies it. وَصَرْفَ الْحَمَمْ, a person has an intent, an inclination to do something, and Allah turns them away from it. And a human being intends to do something, has firm resolve to do something, and then Allah nullifies that azima without there being any apparent reason. Yani, why did he have a firm resolve to do something and didn't do it? We don't see any apparent reason. And a person has an inclination to do something, they're inclined to go in a particular direction or in a particular way to do something specifically, and then they are turned away from it. And they intend to do something, and then they're turned away from it. Perhaps they even began to do it, and then, yani, they're turned from it. So we say, yani, he said, so the one who breaks the firm resolve is the one who put it there in the first place, and that is Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the one who turns a person away from their inclination is, yani, even if they had began to do it and turns them away from it, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say that in this hadith is a dalil that the human being has the right to say, I will do something such and such and so and so, if he is merely informing someone about what he's thinking about in himself. يعني إخبارا أما في نفسه لا جزما بأنه يفعل. Not saying definitely, certainly he's going to do it, but just, this is something I'm thinking about. يعني it's permissible for a person to say that, but they shouldn't say it يعني with firmness or definiteness, يعني because the future, it belongs to Allah. But if a person is just informing about what's in their self, there's no harm in doing so. Otherwise, they should say, Inshallah, Wallahu Muwaffaq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who grants success. Again, yani, this hadith is a clear indication to us of the importance of hastening, hurrying, rushing to do that which one is commanded with, as Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu hastened to fulfill the command of Allah, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet ordered him to proceed and don't look in any other direction until Allah grants victory at your hands. Naam. Tayyib. Any question about what we discussed tonight? Any question about what we discussed tonight? In any case, this hadith is similar to the previous hadith that we have discussed, all of them looking at different angles of what al-mubadara, hastening, yani to do good, yani before the opportunity passes us by, before it becomes difficult, before we are yani made unable, yani incapable of doing something, before death comes, sickness, whatever conditions yani that might befall us, that might prevent us from doing good, let us occupy ourselves with doing good to the best of our ability while we can, before we lose the opportunity or the ability to do so. Abu Bakr had his hand up first.
No. You said
yeah, okay. I mean, in this discussion, yani we came across what? Yani the command of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to fight against people until they bear witness to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And also the Shaykh mentioned that some of the scholars say that if people didn't openly display Islam and they didn't fulfill some of the obligatory duties of Islam, that even though we don't declare them to be kafirs, we can fight against them. He said, who is the one yani who fights against them or can order somebody to fight against them? The ruler of the Muslims in the Islamic State. And this discussion on this topic is in the Islamic State, not the ISIS, the real Islamic State. Yani when there's a state that where the Muslims live and there's a Muslim ruler and a Muslim government, then the ruler of the Muslim or whoever he appoints in the authority of the Muslims is the one who can decide that according to the Sharia of Allah, bihaq al-Islam, according to the Sharia of Allah, a certain person can be punished in a certain way, whether it's fighting them, killing them, imprisoning them or whatever. This is only the right of the Muslim ruler, not the brother in the village or in the town or in the city or in a masjid where 25 people came together and said, we're going to make a jama'ah and we're going to make you our leader and then you can order us to do this, that and the other. No, it doesn't mean that. It means where there's an Islamic government in an Islamic country and a Muslim ruler, yani then that person can implement the laws of Allah, not the laws that they made up themselves, the laws of Allah according to the Sharia. They can implement the laws and the punishments that Allah has prescribed according to yani the Quran and the Sunnah and the secondary yani evidences of Islam.